With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We had some fine guests, including four-time Olympic gold medalist cyclist Laura Kenny joined us. She's done a bit of acting, hasn't she?
Bit of cycling tips. We've got to move, Paul. Jolie Chilcott for about the three grand boxing gloves.
Yeah, three grand Versace boxing gloves, but they're on sale. That's the good news. So if you've got a spare two and a bit grand, we'll tell you more about that and some of the other weird and wonderful sporting stuff Versace do. And the great smell of sport. Art historian Cara Verbeek joined us, and her job was to recreate the 1988 Dutch dressing room in smells.
And one of the things she'd done, she'd done some like Waterloo as well.
She's told us she was amazing. So you'll hear from her. We had a bit of a chat about various things. You got involved. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Good afternoon, Paul. Lovely to be here again. Thanks for having me back.
That's a great pleasure. Thanks for coming back. Being on a quiz show.
Yeah, exactly.
I've had a lovely, Paul. We had a fantastic day.
I've got me bully and me tankard.
Yeah, brilliant. Yes.
I keep them on. Did you enjoy last night? I thought it was a good game. I thought Brentford looked great.
Brentford did do very well. And at 1-0, with Brentford coming on strong, I was a little bit nervous. I thought it quite bizarre, really, that Tottenham, I kept thinking, go and get the second goal. You'll probably kill the game with the second goal. So they're on the back foot at 1-0 and then get the second goal and then proceed to attack to get a third. There was no point. I mean, couldn't they have done that a bit earlier? I'm sure football is not as simple a game as that, but it struck me that sitting on 1-0 against a team that had some firepower, as they proved, and the goal that was ruled out for them, look, it's a ludicrous rule. I hate the rule. There can't be a Premier League fan out there who watches their team play that hasn't been sawn off by a stupid decision like that. If he'd scored with his knee, fair enough. But he didn't. He scored with his head. So unless his head's offside, it's not offside. It should be the part of the body, etc., etc. We all know how we feel about it at the moment. But within the stupid laws of the game, it was offside. And I know everybody wanted Tottenham to lose. I'm sorry. But everyone prefers a giant killing. I'd be the same if it wasn't my team. But within the putrid laws of the game, sadly, he was offside, unless Moussa Sissoko wears one clown boot, which I've not noticed.
This is an idea, though, isn't it? I think we've discussed this before. Yeah. If this is going to be the thing, should wear longer shoes and perhaps have some out the back as well, you know, so they can stay on side.
That would have been the only way, really, that Ivan Toney could have been onside, really, because a big clown shoe. But there we are.
I don't think everyone wanted Spurs to lose. I don't think they wanted Spurs to score in 5 minutes and then just try and hold on to a 1-0 for 90 minutes, which is what they seem to do, which is so strange because they're so great going forward.
Yeah,
you watch Kane and Son. That is just a beautiful, beautiful forward partnership that seems to be telepathic, scoring great, exciting goals. Son's finish was fantastic.
I'm all for killing a game at 2-0, as they proved against City and Arsenal, but it does always strike me that it's very high risk when it's 1-0. And Jose says it's nothing to do with him. They just naturally sit back on that and don't attack as much and give the ball up a lot more cheaply than they usually do.
And Lucas Moura will be looking forward to playing up front on Sunday v Marine.
Kept himself. Vinicius came on for a little run out.
Getting themselves fit for Sunday.
Son and Kane will be on the bench, Marine fans. So there won't be many of you there, but the ones looking out their window from the houses in Crosby that overlooks the ground, you will see Son. I mean, I'm for sure, I think he'll take it very seriously. He won't take any chances. That happened against Newport, didn't it? How often do they have to come on and get you out of jail to get you a replay? So I would imagine they'll be on the bench.
And who do you fancy in the final out of tonight's Manchester derby?
It's a tough stuffy, isn't it? I don't want to I don't want anybody pinning anything on the dressing room wall.
Yeah, Hawksby says.
Yeah,
the easier of the two.
United owe us one, and City owe us one. Effectively, City take the tournament so seriously, as we know, and are very good at it. So, you know, I don't mind, John. We've done our work. let battle commence, and we'll see what happens.
Both managers love it, don't it? Mourinho and Pep, they both love the League Cup. They're that's all they want. It's like it's their favourite trophy.
Well, it's true. Apart from Swansea in recent years, it tends to be won by Manchester City, who do take it really seriously every year. Pep has been great for the sponsors. He's been great for Carabao. He really takes his tournament seriously, because, you know, people keep saying, oh, maybe we should ditch it. It's a tournament too far. But all the time, one of the top teams in the country take it seriously. Yeah. Then I think, you know, duty bound to do that.
I love that it's gone from the Milk Cup to the Carabao Cup.
Rumbelows.
Really shows how.
The Rumbelows Cup.
Littlewoods.
Yeah, Littlewoods over the years. We're going to bring you that game live on TalkSport this evening, of course, as we did last night. A couple of things I want to hear from you on today. First up, we're going to be talking changing rooms, dressing rooms, because Charlie White's going to join us from the Sun. He's been rounding up some of the interesting stories, because in lockdown, we've seen, or certainly during the pandemic, we've seen that teams can't change, they can't come out the same tunnels. Mm-hmm. So we have to find a different way. Ooh, pardon me, I whacked the mic. Gesticulating too much. We have to find a different. Text me now. I was sort of banging on the mic. Where were we? We have to find a different dressing rooms, and some clubs have struggled to find alternative accommodation. And we saw Neil Warnock getting very upset with Stoke, calling it a pigsty.
What a shame.
So we're going to hear from you.
Like at school when you had to go and do a class in a portable cabin. I remember being temporary classroom that seemed to have been there for 40 years.
I remember at junior school, if you played in the football team, and there was a match that afternoon,
okay,
you'd get changed. First, you'd put your kit on in the class, and you'd where all the coats were on the coat rack. We'd all have to go, the boys in the football team would go behind the coat rack, put our kit on. I was only about 10. It was highly embarrassing.
Well, then the rest of the class chose the rest of the class, tough school you went to, Paul.
The rest of the class are doing 1 10 is 10, 2 10s are 20, and we're standing there getting changed. We get 15 minutes. That was one of the advantages being in the football team, getting 15 minutes.
What colour was your school football team?
Hounsfield Junior School. Yeah. I think the other two people who went to that school, Rodney Marsh went there fleetingly, and the great Johnny Haynes went to that school in Edmonton. I think we wore a sort of amberish shirt and blue shorts.
Oh, wasn't nice. That's a good kit. Right, amber, sort of Sutton United, Wolverhampton Wanderers sort of vibe.
Raglan, the local school, where they were our nemesis. They beat us in cup finals.
I played football, but we also played rugby, and we won the under 13s schools rugby cup.
Oh yeah!
But in the final, we played Torquay Boys Grammar School. Which was the posh school from up the road. We beat them.
So it was like eating rifles, was it?
Yeah, and we were rough.
Class war.
Proper rough, comprehensive, and we beat the big boys from up the road, and it was proper class war. It was brilliant. Snooker ball in a sock stuff.
So let's have a few changing room tales from you this afternoon. Some of the weird and wonderful places you've been asked to get changed when you've played sport. Let us know some of those fine examples you've encountered.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby, Charlie Baker here on Talk Sport. You're telling us about some of the great changing facilities you've come across in the world of sport.
Belters.
We're going to talk about this later on, because COVID has meant that you can't use your usual dressing rooms, of course, at a lot of grounds. And there's been some interesting stories coming out of that, and Charlie White tells us more later. But when I played for Golden Hill Boys Club in Clydebank back in the 70s, says Robert, there was a covered area in the playground of the local school. That's where we changed. Got cold in the winter, he says. Nice covered area. Nice, beautifully done.
Clyde banked outside in your pants, getting your socks on.
You'd fancy a walnut whip afterwards, wouldn't you? How about they put... Oh, now, what was this one? My very first game of adult cricket, aged 11, says Jonathan. We had to get changed in the groundsman's shed. Pavilion had been burnt down. Lovely.
The crack on willow.
Vividly.
Burning in the background.
Remember hanging my clothes on the handle of the lawnmower.
Oh, lovely,
So you can send us a few more of those. TalkSport.com, text 81089. Tweet TS Agent J. Dave Ingham says, played for the away change rooms when I used to play. It was an old chicken shed. Mm. Also, I've changed in an old train goods wagon. Happy days on a Sunday morning, says Dave. Somebody sent a picture.
Williston Village FC have been in touch again, and they sent a lovely picture of them getting changed in the old tea and coffee hut there, which is an old caravan, and all the whole team inside there getting changed.
It's a great picture of it. It looks like a band album cover. Yeah. A couple of blokes emerging from a teas and coffees and sandwiches caravan.
Britpop album cover.
It does, doesn't it? So anyway, you can keep those coming. We've got some other stuff to run past you as well. Some of the great changing facilities you've encountered and the tales that hang on them. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ 08717223344. Now, good news. If before Christmas you were thinking of getting a friend or loved one the Barocco print boxing gloves by Versace, mm-hmm. They were going to set you back $3,000.
Yeah. I remember you and... Andy talking about it.
Yeah.
About them and how...
But they were a bit rich for our blood.
Too much. So now, please, they're discounted.
Yeah, they've gone down from $3,000 in the January sale to a mere £2,205. But it does beg the question, why do Versace make a pair of boxing gloves? They are exactly that. They're normal leather boxing gloves, but with lots of the kind of Versace...
Gold brocade,
that's right. That's the stuff. Let's speak now to... freelance fashion writer to tell us more, Jolie Chilcott. Jolie, good afternoon.
Hello.
Have you had a chance to check these out online? Have you seen them yet?
I have seen them, yes. You can't really miss them, they're so garish.
They are. I mean, I'm just trying to think. I don't have the British Boxing Border Control would pass these for a fight. Mm. So,
bit of blood on them, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, why would you wander around in a pair of Versace boxing gloves just up and down the Arndale Centre? I mean, I can't really see. You couldn't go and do your shopping in them, could you?
You couldn't, no. I think it's one of those things, like a lot of designer products, that it's just a status symbol. It's, you know, they're going to get a lot of likes on social media if you've got the money to burn to buy yourself a pair of Versace boxing gloves. I can't imagine they're going to be seen in the ring very much, but it's that kind of, you know, you can get a... designer handbag with the logo splashed all over it, or you can get one from Primark. It's that kind of status symbol.
Right. Okay.
Well, and why do Versace design them and then make them? Because I can't imagine they sell very, very
many.
They're
having to knock them out now, aren't they? Yeah. I mean, the thing is, if you're the sort of person that would spend $3,000 on this, you know, then
what's their thought behind it, I wonder, you know? Okay. Is it just that status thing?
Certain extent, but also a lot of these designer brands have gone into sporting goods, I think, because the fashion isn't actually that profitable. They've started to get lower production costs with sporting goods. Other designer brands, Louis Vuitton, you can get designer branded dumbbells for £1,800.
Nice.
So I think it's that kind of, they won't sell very many of them, but they're actually probably quite profitable.
If you were going to be the Versace boxer, I mean, because they do a baroque bathrobe, £355.
You could get that whole outfit, yeah.
Yeah, so you could enter the ring in your bathrobe, couldn't you? And you've got your Versace gloves on. And whoever was in the other corner really want to give you a good idea, though, wouldn't
really
they?
Really
would. And I do wonder if you...
Team talk done for them.
If you are going to wear these as a sort of fashion accessory, and I mean, they're going to make you more violent. If you've got a pair of boxing gloves on, all people will come to you. You'll be walking down the street or sort of wandering around Lidl in your Versace boxing gloves.
You're asking for a beating, aren't you?
Yeah. Someone's going to say, come on then, aren't they? They just will, because you're inviting it.
Boxers really, exactly. Really need more ways to waste and lose their money, don't they? with their history over the,
Saying that, boxing is quite a flamboyant sport. There's been some crazy designs over the years. So, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll see it in the ring one day.
Yeah. They also do a dog dressing gown, 175 quid. Oh. It's hooded, belted. If you're trying to get a hood and a belt on the dog, textured logo pattern, Barocco details, 90s vintage logo. Yeah. And they do it in all the sizes. You can get, you know, I can't imagine
a dog that would want... I can imagine a cat. In that, you know, cats are a bit more snooty, aren't they? A bit more designer, aren't they?
You ever try to get a dressing gown on a cat? Good luck with that.
Welcome to this Channel 5.
And if you're going on holiday this year, the must-have accessories from Versace are the Crete de Fleur beach rackets. You get the balls thrown in.
Bat and ball,
180 quid bat and ball bat for and the ball. Beach. They also, Jolly, they do a rubber ring. The Crete de Fleur inflate a rubber ring. Imagine that. You go on, you know, you have your caravan holiday in Yarmouth. And and then suddenly the wind picks up and you see 165 quid being sort of tossed out to sea. It would be...
I mean, you're literally throwing your money away with that float because there's no way that's hanging around for long.
That's going to get punctured, isn't it? Someone's going to take a knife to that if they see. There's a lot of jealousy involved, which is it's not a great thing.
Jolie, you're in fashion though, you know, and once you've gone... bought a bit of something nice, you feel the quality difference, don't you? You feel it fits you better. It, you know, you feel good when you wear it. So your rubber ring, you're walking down in your Speedos, and you're maybe a bit embarrassed of your normal
Camber Sands. Every week in Camber Sands
with your rubber ring,
Versace rubber ring, and your dressing gown on. Your dog's wearing his hoodie.
Look at this mug with his $6.99 bat and ball.
Exactly. Your Primark float just won't quite compare, will it?
No. Yeah. Well, look, they do skateboards as well. Do a couple of different skateboards. If you wanted the kind of garish skateboard, if you just want the word Versace, 535 quid, that'll set you back. But I wonder how the discounted boxing gloves are going. I'm going to keep an eye on it
now. Yeah, good. It's a story to follow, isn't it?
Well, I'd suggest that maybe because they've been discounted, they aren't doing that well. No, but, you know, just who knows?
Bit of a sticker in the shop.
Near where I live is a place called Bista Village, which is a discount... designer outlet centre.
Well, we know it well, yeah.
And you can go there. Yeah. This is the sort of thing you can buy there. And you go, oh, it's a bargain.
Yeah.
It's £700 off.
Yeah.
You go, yeah, but it's four sizes too small for you and it's the wrong colour.
Talking about sporting gear, Andy's son, Dan, he went down to Bicester once and to the Ralph Lauren shop and bought the entire umpire's outfit from Wimbledon because it was on sale there. And he could have wandered into Wimbledon and umpired a couple of games and no one would have noticed.
What a good idea.
It's fantastic. Anyway, right. Jody, thank you very much. We'll leave you to peruse the Versace website.
I'll have a little browse. Thanks very much.
Brilliant. There
You'll have to get Jody back on when they go down again. She can be like the Chris Kamara of those Versace boxing gloves.
Do you reckon they might go down? Yeah. Imagine if they're down like $3.99.
How far would they have to go down, Paul, for you to buy them?
$3.99. I don't mean $399 either. I can't think in any circumstances where I would want a pair of Versace box. It's just not a good idea to walk around as a fashion in a pair of boxing gloves, isn't it?
You see, I suppose.
You look like...
You took up the game, though, you know, come late to it.
Very late to it. The Versace kid.
Get in the ring, you know.
That's it. That sounds like a good idea. What else we got for you this afternoon? As a referee, says Mark, I had to get changed in a shipping container and was given a torch when the light didn't work at Brightlingsea. Fantastic. Yeah, it's a few old war stories coming out.
Change at Brightlingsea. Brightlingsea Regent. Torquay played them in the old...
did you?
In the FA Cup once, I think.
Did you go down?
Brightlingsea Regent. We said, so it's like one of those 50s actors, isn't it? Hello.
Hello, I'm Brightlingsea Regent. You may remember me. Yes, that's the bard. What else do we have for you today? Oh, yeah. This is not great, actually. It comes from a not particularly good place. This is the Women's FA Cup, and it's been regarded as non-elite sport and so can't continue at the moment. So they said there'll be coin tosses or the drawing of lots may have to decide the outcome of the Women's FA Cup second and third rounds. There's no way to decide a sporting contest.
How are they deciding what's elite and what isn't?
Well, that's a huge question. I mean, Torquay are elite, aren't they?
Torquay are elite, you know. Yeah. Torquay v.
There's not a court in the
Solihull
land.
Solihull Moors.
That's elite sport.
You disprove that, Paul. That.
There's not a court in the land. So, I remember years ago, Leeds in Europe. I can't remember the game. I should have looked it up. But I have a vague memory of Leeds or Big Jack playing at that sort of era, that sort of Billy Bremner era, of them, a game in Europe being decided by the
a coin toss. Yeah, didn't it land on its side in the mud or something like that? I'd like to think it did.
I think Leeds won it on the coin toss. But there's no way to decide anything. But we'd like to hear some of the weird, wonderful ways that, sporting or otherwise, that a contest that you were involved in or you witnessed was decided. Let us know.
Me and Max did half of them. When we were on lockdown, we had no sport to talk about, so we did dice football, chicken racing, the lot, you know. So,
yeah.
But this is a way of maybe.
Well,
if the Women's FA want to get in touch with us about dice football, I can offer them the rules.
So you think that would be a way to decide it?
Why not?
Okay.
Why not?
Let us know, as well as some of your changing room stories.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker here on TalkSport. Now, you may have seen some TV ads, the good people at Purple Bricks, featuring Laura Kenny, four times Olympic gold medalist, of course, cyclist, and her acting debut.
Lovely.
Who knows? Might have given her a bit of a taste for more.
Yeah, you never know. Might not do the bother with the Olympics anymore.
Yeah, that's it.
Just get after Hollywood.
Taking over the Vic. Who knows? Good afternoon, Laura.
Hello.
Did you enjoy it? You did well, I thought. I mean, yeah. It's not an easy thing to do, to keep a straight face when someone's doing that. Did you enjoy the acting?
Oh, I really did, yeah. You know, like, that was probably the best appearance I've ever done. Like, just in terms of it just being really relaxed and really funny. Yeah. I mean, my acting skills took a bit of getting going, shall we say.
Yeah, so you weren't a one-take wonder then. How many takes was that?
About 50.
But it's a good thing, because the Purple Bricks are trying to get everybody behind the team ahead of the Olympics, which of course would have been this year, but are now would have been last year, but are now this year. But it kind of did you a favour, didn't it, the fact they were postponed, because you had a pretty bad injury.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I would never wish this illness on anyone, but for me, like, for my professional career, then yeah, I mean, having two broken bones in the space of 2.5 weeks in an Olympic year is less than ideal, shall we say.
Yeah.
And you know what? The week we were supposed to go and race 4 weeks before the Olympics in Poland, obviously it got cancelled. But that weekend, I actually went out with Katie Archibald, who obviously does Madison as well. And I said, come on, let's just do a change, like, see if I would have been okay. And like, we did a little change on the road, like, I slung her in and it was fine. But you don't want to be going into Olympics thinking, well, it was fine, you know, like, I want to be at my best. Mm-hmm. So yeah, by having this extra time, I mean, I would have given anything, like 6 months would have been like a long enough period for me, you know. So yeah, to be given an extra year for me professionally, then yeah, like, I'm kind of glad in a way.
We speak to a lot of footballers on this program, and they always say they're never fully fit. You know, even when they're playing professional football, they're never fully fit. Are cyclists ever fully fit, Laura? Are you ever feeling 100%?
Yeah, once every 4 years. Or in this case, 5 years, shall we say.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, it's funny. Like, when you are at your peak fitness, or what you assume is your peak fitness, because I always think this, like, so we go to the Olympics, and, like, when you win, obviously you think, that must be my best ever. Mm-hmm. But what if in a week after that, you could have been even better? Like, how would you know? Because you just go away partying. Like, there is no, like, another week racing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would say peak, I have been at my best. Rio, the last day of Rio, I would say, was probably the best I've ever gone.
Do cyclists ever lose their nerve? I mean, we see people, you know, people are out on the roads and they're riding their bikes and they get knocked off their bike and it takes them a while to climb back on again. You know, they often say you've got to get back on the bike. But, you know, you broke your collarbone. That was a pretty nasty smash up. I mean, you're probably used to it. But is there ever a feeling when you think, well, I'm a mum now and I'm not sure I want to be doing this anymore?
It's not not that I don't want to be doing it anymore. Like, so when I broke my shoulder back in whenever it was Jan, and then 2 weeks later, I then went on to break my arm. A little part of me was thinking, why are you doing this? Like, you're just in pain all of the time. Mm. But I'm a bike rider, and it is true what they say, just get straight back on. I mean, the whole reason me trying to compete at Worlds, obviously I did go on to break my arm, but I got fit enough to go there because of that very thing about getting back on. And I thought, I can't be going to an Olympic Games having the last race I'd been to, I'd broken my shoulder. Like, I would just be so nervous. So for me, yeah, I just thought, right, let's just get back to it. And it is what it is. Like, I know I'm not at best fitness, but if I don't do it, I'm just going to be scared.
With the lockdown and everything, of course, everyone can go out and cycle on the roads, but also the rise in things like Zwift and Peloton, a lot of people cycling in their houses. I'm assuming you do that at home, and you're racing just average people as well in your house.
Do you ever, Laura, go under a pseudonym and take people on?
Do you have a fake name, Laura? Can I find you on Zwift or something somewhere?
You won't find me. But I am literally kitted to go right now. After this, I am on Zwift. It's funny because before lockdown, right, you'd have never got me on a turbo. I literally would be out in ice, snow, like, you name it, I'm out, because I cannot stand being cooped up for that period of time. Like, my mum has been, like, obsessed with Peloton. And I've just for me, I'm like, I can't do that day in, day out.
Yeah.
But lockdown has just, like, changed it for me. Like, I'm 2 hours at a time. I mean, I did 2 hours this morning. I'm about to do 2 hours now.
Yeah.
Like, I do. Yeah, it's brought a different kind of...
Describe your pain cave to us. That's what they call it.
Is that because you're on Zwift, don't you, Charlie?
They call it a pain cave, and mine involves a fan, £20 off eBay,
yeah.
An old telly, a towel on the floor, and a turbo.
A towel on the floor? You sweat that much?
Everybody sweats that much on a turbo, Paul. It's very sweaty business, isn't it, Laura?
To be honest, mine's not that much different. And Jason set it up, so, you know, I can't talk too badly of it. But yeah, it's a TV, it's a laptop so that I can watch something on the TV. Yeah. And that's all of about it, to be honest.
Now, I don't live a million miles away from your old part of the world, so I'm familiar with the Laura Trott Leisure Centre in Chesne. But they haven't updated it, have they? I suppose it's quite a lot of... They do realise you've got married, don't they?
I know, yeah, but I mean, I was Laura Trott when I opened it.
That's so true,
I'll let them off.
You don't mind. That's true. I've seen your gold postbox around there as well. That's
is still... it still gold? Is
oh
it?
Yeah, I think so. It's not had a repaint recently, right. But as far as I know,
The big T down the Trot. Does it get?
It's up by, if you ever want to find, it's up by Chesant Station. It's at the top of the road.
How do people refer to it? You know, well, I'll see you down there.
They call it the Laura Trott Leisure Centre. They give it its full title, Charlie.
I still know it as Grundy.
Grundy, probably is still known as Grundy.
It's always going to be Grundy, isn't it?
Yeah. your old teammate, Sir Chris Hoy, says you're good for another six medals. He says you're good for another two Olympics. So he's obviously not having to put the work in. But he's a lot of faith in you. He sees you going to Paris as well. Is that the way you see it?
I mean, maybe. Like, for me, I can't imagine not racing my bike. I think the hardest thing is staying in the team, to be honest, and getting selected for these races, because it's so competitive even just to get into the team, let alone go to these Olympics, you know? So, like, that's the toughest part of it. I mean, in terms of wanting to, I mean, I'll get chucked off. They'll have to drag me out of the velodrome before I say I'm done. I just love it. Like, I can't imagine it not being in my life. And, having Albie, initially I thought there is no way that I could be an athlete and a mum at the same time. I couldn't even understand how people like Jessica Ennis Hill even did it. And now, having done it, I'm like, you can do both. Mm. So can I just carry on? You know what I mean? Like, can I do this forever?
Yeah. Wow. And just finally, I saw a picture of your little lad on his own bike. So is it kind of innate? Is it in the genes? Did he have the stabilisers off after the first day out? I mean, is he good on the bike?
Stabilisers are just a no-go. We used to say that.
You don't have stabilisers. No one uses those anymore.
Balance bike. He did take to it really fast. I mean, I think me and Jace did have a bit of pushy parent, though. We were like, pedal, pedal. And so he did pick it up really fast. But the thing is, right, I think for us, because we go out together, all we could picture was family bike rides. And, you know, about, I don't know, maybe 4 weeks ago, we went for our first actual family bike ride, and it was so nice. Like, I loved it. So as much as I joke that, you know, yeah, we were pushy parents, I'm glad that we were like, come on, come on.
I mean, I don't know if Paul will agree with me, but as he gets older, the last thing he will want to do is bike ride with his mum and dad. That's all I will tell you.
Enjoy it while you can, while you're cool.
Teach him young, and then I've got more time.
Yeah, and he can take on the family business.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't
lovely,
he?
Yeah,
brilliant.
Just not that into it.
Yeah. Cheers, Laura. Thanks very much.
Oh, that's all right. Thank you.
Take care. Laura Kenny there. You can catch her in those Purple Bricks ads with her first acting performance. And we wish her well for the Olympics next year.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Yes, it's Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker here on TalkSport. Eddie Izzard joins us in the next hour. 31 gigs, 31 marathons, 31 days. He's doing it again, is Eddie. It's amazing, really.
Really is.
How do you discover that you're really good at running long distances quite late in life like that?
She came to it late and you just go, it's either it's like, you've got the knees or you haven't,
it's
basically.
Like you going out for a run, say, tonight.
Imagine that.
And like you going out for a run tonight and thinking, I could do 26 miles, I could do it for 31 days.
I did half marathon once, Paul, and I was a lot less fit than I even am now.
Yeah.
I was heavier. And I wore a top. It was midsummer. Oh,
that's good to hear.
I wore a top that I'd been given. Mm. And it was, I was told it was a breathable fabric, you know, technical breathable fabric. Yeah. Wore it, collapsed at the end of the half marathon.
Wow.
Fully dehydrated, like absolutely finished on the floor.
Was it Hessian?
St. John Ambulance, lot. It was thermal, Paul. It was a thermal top.
Who gave you
a thermal top?
Was it?
I hadn't checked.
Who gave you a thermal vest?
I never know who it was given to me by, but I should have checked. It's my own fault. It's my own fault. But I ended up in a St. John Ambulance van that was an old ice cream van, Paul. They painted the windows out white.
Really? Did you get you got a 99 out of it, though.
Yeah,
did you?
Yeah, 99 problems.
Cool you down.
99 problems, but a stitch one wasn't one.
Charlie, I'm sorry to hear that.
There we are. Other things that have happened. People have been getting changed in all sorts of stuff, haven't
they? Yeah, we've had some interesting ones coming about where people got changed. There was a corker here. Where's it gone?
Why are you finding it? Mark Olver's got in touch.
Oh, yeah.
Comedian Mark Olver, Liverpool fan. Mm. Top warm-up man. I did comedy at a gentleman's evening in a football club in Portishead, and the changing rooms for the comedy and for the lady dancers was in the football changing groups, and the guy organised it got some heaters for the dancers for his office.
Yeah.
But when he plugged them in, he realised that he'd bought in three laminators instead, which you probably need in a gentleman's club.
Yeah, very, very nice, yes. Rev in Reading says, when I was a quick kid, we used to get changed in a decrepit old mansion house in Prospect Park. I once put my foot through the rotten wooden stairs. The building is now a harvester. Oh, fantastic.
How nice.
Go there for your salads.
Yeah, very nice.
How games were decided. That was the other thing we got you going on today, because the Women's FA Cup, because of lockdown three, might have to be decided by the toss of a coin, which is never great, or drawing lots.
No.
This sounds like a high quality. This is from Whaley Bridge. This is Dave. He says, I was playing darts in the local pub league, and both me and the other player were that drunk we couldn't finish the game. So we got a pint each, and the one who drank his first was the winner.
I said, what a great way to finish.
Yeah, what a fantastic. It was like the old school darts of the 70s, isn't it? We can't play darts anymore. We just finish this with a pint.
I've always wondered what the standard of darts is in pub darts. Because, you know, when you watch it on telly, it's amazing, isn't it? Everyone's hitting all the 180s all the time. But the pub darts always looks like an excuse to just drink.
It won't be quite as good as the final that we watched at the weekend. I don't think.
Final,
when we get into 120 averages or whatever.
Very good final. Got a problem page here. Dear Colleen in the Daily Mirror, Paul.
Colleen?
Yeah, dear Colleen. Okay. Colleen Nolan. I don't think this bloke needed to write the letter, to be honest. It's self-explanatory to me, I don't know. But I've been with my partner for over 4 years. Mm. And when I tell her I love her, all I get back is, well, that's good then. And only very occasionally will she say it back to me. And it gets to a point every couple of months where it drives me to distraction. Also, she decided to call off our wedding.
Okay.
We bought a house
I'm spotting a few red flags.
What should I do? You know, I love this girl so much, but can you advise? Yeah. Get out.
Okay. Thank you, Colleen.
Leave.
Ask Charlie.
And that's from M. Ertzil.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
If you're listening, no, it's certainly not. What else have we got for you? Yes, this is from... that's a very strange name. In the 70s, my dad's cricket team went to play a small village side just outside Cambridge. When they turned up, they asked the opposition skipper where the pavilion was. He promptly replied, "You're standing on its roof. It blew down last week." there we are.
Mark in Sheffield. This is a good one, this one. Proper men, this one. Paul, not like me and you. Hello, H and J. Happy New Year. Many years ago, I was captain of a second team local rugby union side. We had a pool game against the so-called village side, so we fielded a few vets and youngsters in this rugby match. Turned out it was the Pitt Colliery rugby team. These guys were hard as nails. We had to get changed in their pit changing rooms, which were 50 foot underground. We had to get in a steel lift to get there. It was very surreal. We got hammered 50-6. That's Mark in Sheffield. Thank you, Mark.
Wow, good stuff. Well, you can keep those coming. We're looking for the weird and wonderful places that you were asked to get changed, or asked the opposition to get changed, and indeed ways to decide on a sporting event, or sporting or otherwise, but any competition you were involved with and it couldn't be decided on in the usual way. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ 0871 722 3344.
Yes, very good stuff. More coal news. Coal news.
You've got what you got there.
You've got steam trains could stop running after plans for a new coal mine were blocked.
Okay.
So you know the heritage steam. You've been on the
opening.
You've been on the Paignton to Brixham steam railway, Paul.
I like a steam / modern railway. I'm quite a fan. If I go to a place, I'll often search it out.
They all get their coal from the same place. Because you need a special sort of coal. They've applied for a new mine for the coal. It's been turned down.
Really?
It might be over.
I just love the idea of a new mine opening in this country. I never thought that was going to happen again.
Back to the 80s.
Yeah. Sir Alex Ferguson's got some new neighbours.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you were aware of this. Mm-hmm. Just moved in a couple of doors away. It's Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and his little mixed girlfriend, as the papers say, Perry Edwards.
I can't imagine them being Sir Alex's type.
Well, I don't know.
I bet they're lovely people.
One of his great strengths was the way he could relate to young players.
Yeah.
You know, to well into his sort of 70s. I'm sure that's still the case. A man with grandkids.
Yeah, and since the Ox has come back, he's not had great form. And I know he's only played a couple of times, but his form hasn't been there. If it suddenly picks up now,
maybe
Sir Alex over the garden fence.
Work on him. Get him over at United if the form picks up. But the papers said Sir Alex, 79, is known to like tunes like Frank Sinatra, Nat King Cole and Willie Nelson.
Oh, lovely.
So I think maybe possibly Little Mix could do Always On My Mind. They could do Lady Is a Tramp.
I love Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson is the subject of my favourite ever joke, Paul. I've told you this before. I cannot tell you it. And if I told it, it would be off the air. It's a superb joke, though. A really, really great joke. But what a singer Willie Nelson is. Fantastic. I've moved on. Nat King Cole as well. You've just gone from back to Cole.
You haven't got a joke
Cole.
About him, have you? No, fantastic.
Just gone back to more Cole there. It's a bit of a shame.
What else we got here? Let's see if we can find the other ones. Yes. When I played my junior Boys Brigade under 11s, we got changed in a brick-built building with stone benches and no doors, open to the elements in the coldest and highest part of Gateshead, says Derek the Toon Army Postier. Yeah, I mean, it's a way to test you, isn't it? That's why I think a lot of the Premier League sides and clubs that have been having to give people temporary changing rooms during the virus, it's a way of getting under the skin of the opposition. It got under Borough's skin, it got under Neil Warnock's skin.
You just have to get changed in their cars, Paul.
Yeah.
You ever had to get changed in your car? They've all got changed in the car.
Yeah, of course.
Open the boot at the back. They've all got big cars, haven't they? All these footballers.
three, four players in the back of a Bentley.
Big minibus.
Putting all the kit on.
It'd be lovely, wouldn't it? Can you see James Milner driving the bus?
Yeah.
Buying a big minibus so that everyone can get changed in it. What a lovely... Bring your own changing room.
That's the famous Bobby Gould and the Wimbledon boys turning up at White Hart Lane for their FA Cup semi-final in a little minibus. I think Bob was behind the wheel.
Was he?
And the doorman said, he said, "Who are you?" And the guy on the gate at Spurs said, "Who are you?" He said, "We're Wimbledon." And he said, yeah, I bet you are. Wouldn't have it. No, they did in the end. Who was going to turn them down, ultimately, when you looked in the back? Yeah. Or in, I'm sure Bobby wasn't in the best of moods. But, yeah, they turned up in a minibus.
Would you have to have a special license for a minibus, do you know, Paul? Is it,
I can't help you.
It'd be good to know, 8, 10, 89. Do you have to...
Well, you're looking to get one,
aren't you? Well, I've got, you know, options are getting more and more limited.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. Well, if you've just done the Willie Nelson gag,
I know,
you might have
been
one.
Out there, exactly.
Get your HGV license.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby, Charlie Baker here on TalkSport. Now, smell, of course, one of the great forgotten senses. I don't quite know what that means, but in the context of the conversation we're about to have, it does make sense. Because, you know, you go to cinemas and they like shake your chair up a little bit, and they're 3D, and so they're working on some of your senses. But they have been at times, they've tried that. They've tried to sort of pump in smells, haven't they?
You smell a certain sweet or something like that, it takes you back.
They are,
you instantly somewhere, doesn't it?
Evocative. Our next guest is an expert in this field, an art historian who has worked in lots of different areas and was asked to turn her attention to football recently to recreate the Dutch dressing room from the 1988 Euros when they beat Russia. Dr. Caro Verbeek joins us. Dr. Verbeek, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Wow. Are you a football fan? Did you come to this with any kind of prior knowledge of what a locker room would smell like?
No, actually, I had no idea. So I went and visited a locker room and had a sniff. to see what it smells like. But of course, nowadays, the smell is different from in the 80s, in the 1980s, because of different materials. So there was real leather. The shoes were made of real leather, the ball. And there wasn't any artificial grass, but always real grass. But then what I did was find a nose witness. So I found one of the football players, and he was willing to talk about the smells after the game that they had won. And that was Adrie van Tichelen.
Right.
And he told me about all the smells, and some of them were, well, of course, the smelly feet and the leather and the grass, but also some typical products from the 80s, like Fresh Up deodorants. I don't know if you use that as well in the UK. And also a product called a showering gel called Badedas.
Yeah, Badedas was that's all come back. Yeah, that was a big at that sort of time, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So most of the guys that played in the team used that. And some of the football players also used coconut oil in their hair.
Right.
And one of them was Ruud Gullit.
Ruud Gullit, yeah.
He apparently used that. Of course, there was the sweatiness and the dampness, the moldiness of a dressing room. And last but not least, the smell of champagne, because they had champagne there. Yeah. And when you combine all those things, you get the composition that's very similar to the smell that those guys perceived after their victorious moment.
Wow. So what's the science? And so you've arrived at this, you've spoken to the Dutch players that were there at the time, and you've come up with some of the smells that you want to recreate. How'd you go about recreating? This was for an exhibition, wasn't it? I take it was a kind of a locker room thing, and then you sort of pumped the essence in. So how do you maintain that? How do you make that work and get that right?
Well, what you need is either essential oils or artificial replicas of certain smells, and those are usually molecules in liquids.
Right.
So there's actually a liquid formula for smelly feet or cheese, because that's exactly the same.
Mm.
So you have all those liquids with compounds, some very abstract, others very, very concrete, and then you mix them until you get a new liquid. And that you can spray, for example, in a room. This particular smell was made for a television program.
Mm-hmm.
And during the television program, the presenter, the host, took the scent in the streets and sprayed it in the air and asked bystanders, okay, what do you think this is? Many people did not like it. Of course, yeah, it's a bit. But if you like football, of course, it's a heavenly scent.
Yeah. There's a certain element of time travel to it, isn't it? When you do smell it, you do go back there physically and in your head.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Time and place no longer play a role. When you smell something from your own past, mm-hmm. something you know well, and lots of emotions that are connected to that, you relive that moment and the emotions mm-hmm. that you felt the moment you first smelled that.
I was reading, Cara, about an exhibition you did involving the Battle of Waterloo, and that took me back when I was very young in Madame Tussauds in London. There was a Battle of Trafalgar, a permanent exhibition, a kind of recreation of it.
Yeah.
And I can still smell that gunpowder smell. You used to go down there, and it was quite incredible, the loud explosions and the gunpowder going on. And it's kind of... that was, I was reading that you'd done a similar thing with the Battle of Waterloo, and that's always lived with me, that smell. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's incredible. And it's true that some smells that were significant in the past can still be found today. So one of the components of the smell of the Battle of Waterloo, which was made by Birgit Sijbrands, was eau de cologne. The eau de cologne we know today as 4711, but which was also worn by Napoleon.
Oh, wow.
And in his days, this was still called aqua mirabilis. So that means that when people smell this composition, they both have very personal memories of their own past, their grandmothers, but at the same time can feel connected to a more distant past.
Oh, it's incredible. That's fascinating, really, isn't it? Yeah. It'd be nice to the great smell of the dressing rooms. It would be nice to do that again. Do that in
dressing
this country.
Room, yeah, Dan. Dressing rooms down in history. It'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's right. You got to try and guess.
What else have you recreated? What other times in history have you recreated?
We've recreated an 18th century canal house in Amsterdam. There are a lot of canals. Houses indoors smelled incredibly damp. And, of course, people had all kinds of strategies to fight these moldy smells. So they lit their fireplace and then threw all kinds of fragrant resins and spices in the fire. So the air would smell really sweet to mask those other foul smells. Yeah. And in Amsterdam, and you can still see them, there were lots of elm trees and lime blossom trees. And they were planted along the canals, again, as a strategy to fight the evil odors of the canal, which were used practically as a sewer.
Yeah.
And you could still smell those, the canal and the trees, indoors. So this is a mix of indoor and outdoor smells. It's one of my favorite compositions, also made by Birgit Sijbrands, a senior nose, incredible talented perfumer.
Wow.
I suppose that's what perfumers and candle makers are trying to do, isn't it? Bring up good feelings inside you, or romantic feelings inside you, or whatever.
Fascinating stuff.
Reminds you of something, yeah.
Well, Cara, good to talk to you. Thank you very much for joining us. It's we'd like to think that we'll see more of this in the world as well,
like
the great smell of the locker room. So there we are, Dr. Cara Verbeek, art historian, recreating the 1988 locker room.
I've always thought you could use a smell as a clue in a Midsommar Murders or something, Paul. You know,
yeah.
Like, yeah, but I've always thought the smell of asparagus when you've had a wee, you know, would be good.
As a plot device.
Yeah, the murderer ate asparagus.
They knew.
And he was the only one.
His water was strong. You're having a late lunch. But
that'd be a good clue in Midsommar Murders.
Okay, well, if the writers are listening, they might sling that in, the great asparagus mystery.
You never know.
That's right. Yeah.
Who do you think's the nicest?
He was the murderer, and I can prove it.
Who do you think's the nicest smelling footballer, Paul, at the moment?
The nicest... I've mentioned it before, but David Platt always tells a story of swapping shirts with Franco Baresi after the third-place playoff in 1990, and they played sort of 120 minutes of football, and they had penalties, and he could still smell the aramis on Baresi's shirt.
Yeah,
it was still... The force was still with him.
Lovely.
It smelled good.
Isn't it Tyson Fury, isn't it? He doesn't wash for weeks.
Doesn't he?
Before a fight.
That's the way to do it. Don't clean your teeth.
So he really stinks. They don't want to get in close.
Yeah.
Because he really, really stinks.
What about the idea of Napoleon?
When he punches you in the head as well.
Napoleon, before going into, going into battle, was dabbing a bit behind each ear. Yeah. So that was thrown into the mix.
Bit of Lynx Africa.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon show. Charlie, thank you ever so much for the last couple of days.
As always, an absolute honour to be on, Paul.
I think Max Rushton joins me tomorrow. But you will be back with Max on Saturday
morning,
won't you?
Yeah.
All your favourites.
All the stuff, all the autobiography wars and some football.
Good. Excellent. Okay. Thanks for listening. Myself and Max with you tomorrow. And Andy back, of course, on Friday.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.